Thanks very much, Heather. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, that's a wonderful way, Lord God, to just draw near to you, to give you thanks, Father, that you hear our prayers. And Lord, as we say at every Thanksgiving, every child born into this world is proof that you haven't given up on us. And we just bless you for the birth of baby faith, Lord God. And we pray that any complications that may have been, Lord God, are now long past, and the child would grow, and that a young age would come to know and worship you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And Father, as we turn to your word now, Lord God, I just pray for your grace and the outpouring of your Spirit for each of us, Lord, as we look at this very solemn, Lord God, subject this morning. Just ask you, Father, please, in Jesus' name, to help us to believe your word. Amen. I'm aware over the past 2 weeks that Dave and Keith have spoken on the resurrection of the dead and why this truth, the resurrection of the dead, why that truth should impact how we live, because it assures us, among many other things, it assures us that God has fixed a day when he will make all things new. You know, we sang there, you know, that we will meet him in the air, you know, and that's incredible to think that there is a day coming when we shall meet Jesus and we shall see Jesus face to face. And the resurrection of the dead should spur us on in how we live, because that's an absolute guarantee that that is going to happen. But let's be clear about something first. The resurrection doesn't happen as soon as a person dies. You get all of these weird and wonderful ideas about what happens when a person dies. But let's be absolutely clear. You will not be resurrected on the day that you die. If you pop your clogs today, you will not be resurrected immediately. In death, the spirits of those who have faith in Jesus go to heaven, or you can call it the world to come, whatever you want to call it. But the spirits of those who have faith in Jesus go to heaven, as Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So the minute you die, if you hit the deck like a sack of spuds this morning, and you're a Christian, your body will fall to the ground, but your spirit will go to be with the Lord. And people call that heaven. Whereas the spirits of unbelievers go to a place called Hades, or another term is Sheol. It's the temporary place of departed spirits, as they too await the resurrection. Now, let me be very clear again about this. Sheol or Hades is not purgatory. There is no such place as purgatory. There is no such place for the departed spirits of those who have died without Christ, where they can go in the hope that people on planet Earth are stupid enough to pay money for mass cards or whatever else, to pray prayers to get them out, in the hope that the Virgin Mary herself is going to go down into purgatory and lift them out. There is no such place. The spirits of the departed Christians go to be with the Lord. The spirits of those who have died without Christ go to Hades, and they wait there until the day of resurrection. Now, when exactly and in what manner the resurrection happens is debatable. But Christians believe the word of God is clear. Every human ever born will be raised from the dead and will be given a new, incorruptible, immortal body. Now, did you hear that? Every human being ever born, Christian and unbeliever, will be given a new resurrection body, a body that cannot ever die. Let's read in Revelation chapter 20, if you've got a Bible with you this morning. Revelation chapter 20, and I'm reading from verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Teaching on the subject of eternal judgment is too often neglected in today's church because it's viewed as not politically correct, or that it may offend some people. And I remember reading about a well-known introductory course in Christianity that many churches in this town have advertised on banners and in posters outside of their churches. I remember reading about that well-known introductory course on Christianity, and it stated, "Don't speak to participants about sin or hell, as it might put people off and they won't come back." This was an introductory course to Christianity. And in it, the original writings by the person who had put this together stated, "Do not speak to participants about sin or hell, as it might put people off and they won't come back." Sin or hell might put people off. If people truly understood about sin and hell, they'd cry out to God for mercy rather than be put off. If they truly understood it, if the church preached the truth of God's word on these subjects, people would flee from the wrath to come and come to the Lord for forgiveness. The Bible is clear. The reason every human will be given new, incorruptible, immortal, resurrection bodies is because we must all stand before the judgment seat of God and hear his final ruling on our eternal destiny. Believers, those who know Jesus and have loved Jesus and have walked in obedience to Jesus, believers will inherit the kingdom. They will hear the words of Jesus, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And they will live in their new bodies on the earth. Do you understand? We're not going to be floating in clouds playing harps. We're not going to be ghosts floating about heaven for all eternity. We will be given new resurrection bodies, and the example of it is Jesus himself when he was raised. We will be given new, immortal, incorruptible bodies. And we who believe in Christ, when we die and on the day of judgment, we will be told, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord," and we shall live on the new earth. Whereas unbelievers will receive eternal judgment, separation from the Lord, and cast into hell. They will hear the words, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. "Depart from me." They must be the most horrifying words that anybody could possibly ever want to hear. The words of Jesus spoken to them. "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And they will be cast into hell, where we're told there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And do you hear that? There will be weeping and there will be gnashing of teeth because they are given a new resurrection body that can never die. You know, I spoke about this some time ago when I told how the cry of those in hell, eternally separated from God, will be, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And the answer would be, "Because you forsook me." See, people don't like to hear this truth. You know, maybe they can accept a God who loves and a God who does miracles, you know, healing the sick, but most cannot or will not accept that God is a judge. And he is a judge. He is a righteous judge. Abraham knew God as judge, and I have said it at many, many funerals as I put someone into the grave and I commit them onto the Lord, and I say, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right?" Abraham knew God as judge and said those words, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right?" King David knew God as judge and said, "Surely he is God who judges. Rise up, judge of all the earth." Isaiah the prophet declared, "For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver." Even the writer in the Hebrews in the New Testament said, "God is the judge of all." God is the judge, and he is to be feared as such and approached with reverence. But God is also a gracious, loving God who, because of Jesus, extends great mercies and forgiveness to those who in repentance humbly come to him. And he accepts them, and he becomes their father. Christian, if you know Jesus, God is not your judge. He is your father. But I believe before any person faces the God of judgment, they will have had opportunity to discover the God of mercy. Every human being is without excuse. But having the opportunity and grasping it are two very different things. Turn with me, please, to John chapter 5. Here Jesus is speaking. And in verse 22 of John chapter 5, Jesus says, "For the Father judges no one. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Jesus is absolutely clear that God the Father has committed all judgment over to him. On that great and terrible day, all judgment of all people will be delivered by Jesus. And the proof of this is the fact that God has raised him again from the dead. There is a day of judgment fixed. It does not come after death, but it is on an appointed day that God alone knows. And here's another fact that people do not like to hear. Every word, every thought, every desire, and every deed will be brought into judgment. And this will not be a time to think or to say, I'm not a bad person, or I'm not as bad as so-and-so. This will not be a time to think like that. The Lord is a righteous judge, and He will not make mistakes. Therefore, there will be no grounds for appeal on that day. There will be no favoritism showed on that day. Those who know the words of Jesus will be judged by them. Those who know God's law will be judged by it. Those who know neither of these will be judged by the light of their own conscience. Every human being has a conscience. On that day, the books, the records in heaven will be opened. This is why I always pray, even this week as I was preparing this, was weeping and saying, Lord, I want it recorded in heaven now. I want it recorded that I have said, my life is yours. I believe in Jesus. 30 years after being a Christian, walking with the Lord, I wanted it recorded in heaven this week that I am a Christian, because God keeps records. And on that day, the books, the records will be opened in heaven, and every person standing alone before the judgment throne must give account for every word, every thought, every deed. Every person, unless they believed in Jesus before they died, is condemned already. The day of judgment is the day when sentence is passed. There's no trying to plead. There is no asking for an appeal. There is none of that at all. It is the day when God will speak, when Jesus will declare our final destination. For those who believed in Jesus, we will escape the outpouring of God's wrath, but not because of anything that we have done, but because of Jesus. We, in that sense, have seen Jesus as the ark, and we have flown, in that sense, for shelter into the ark. We have hidden ourselves in Jesus, and therefore, when the outpouring of God's wrath comes upon sin, we are safe. In this life, Christians acknowledged their sin and came to God imploring Him for mercy. They believed Jesus paid the price, accepting God's judgment against sin for them. But for those who did not, or for those who do not accept Jesus, God's only means of salvation, God's word is clear: they shall be cast into hell with Satan and his host, and shall remain there forever. You see, now you can maybe understand why some people don't want to talk about or listen to the teaching of eternal judgment. You can understand how some people might be offended. If we neglect to preach this truth, if we neglect to preach the truth of eternal judgment, we dishonor Jesus and what He endured for our salvation. If we refuse to tell our loved ones and our work colleagues and our friends and our neighbors about hell to be shunned and heaven to be gained, if we refuse to tell them about eternal judgment, we will dishonor Jesus and what He endured for our salvation. Jesus went to the cross and was judged in our place, suffering the torments of hell for us. Jesus cried the cry of hell, my God, why have you forsaken me, so that we wouldn't have to cry that cry? Jesus loved us and died for us in our place to save us from hell. If we neglect to preach on eternal judgment, people out there won't understand that they're storing up wrath for themselves on the day of judgment. If we don't tell our loved ones this truth, they're storing up wrath upon wrath upon wrath for the day of judgment. If we neglect to preach on eternal judgment, we neglect to tell of God's great mercy and His grace extended to sinners now. If we neglect to tell, we neglect to tell that there is forgiveness with God right now. If we neglect to preach on eternal judgment, people won't understand the gospel of Jesus is their only hope of salvation. If we neglect to preach on eternal judgment, we will not persuade others of their need to repent before it's too late. If we neglect to preach on eternal judgment, we neglect to proclaim the love of Jesus for us. And if we neglect to preach on eternal judgment, we will forget to be thankful to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for their wonderful, wonderful salvation plan. The truth of the resurrection from the dead should impact how we live, because it tells us there is a day of judgment coming, a day when God will make all things new and will put right every wrong. Are you offended by this message this morning? Would you prefer not to have heard it? Well, you'll know at Shiloh Christian Fellowship, we make no apology for preaching the truth of God's word. Remember, on the day of judgment, only believers in Jesus will inherit the kingdom. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Unbelievers will be separated from the Lord and cast into hell. Depart from me, for I never knew you. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So let me ask, where do you stand this morning? Tomorrow is promised to no one. Are you prepared to give account to God on the day of judgment? You see, only those who believe in Jesus, only those who trust in Him, can be sure that they shall be saved from the wrath to come. Because of God's great mercy and grace, there is hope for people this morning. But you must, in repentance, humbly come to God, imploring Him for His mercy and His grace. And I thought of these words as I was writing them down during the week. Famous words of a beautiful, beautiful hymn again came to mind. I've said them many times and I'll say it again, and I pray that you will be able to sing these words, or you will be able to own them this morning. There is no condemnation. There is no hell for me. The torment and the fire my eyes shall never see. For me, there is no sentence. For me, death has no stings. Because the Lord who saved me shall shield me with His wings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's a scary thing, a terrifying thing to think of a day of judgment, that anybody, Lord God, will hear the words from the lips of Jesus, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And they will be separated from you forever, cast into hell where Satan and the host of evil are, and all who have rejected Jesus, and shall be forever in that place of torment. What a terrible, terrible thought that people, Lord God, will finish up there. But Father, thank you this morning for your great mercies. Thank you for your great grace. Thank you for Jesus, who came into this world and went to the cross to pay the price for our sin, dying in our place, crying the cry of hell so that we wouldn't have to. Thank you for Jesus this morning. And thank you, Jesus, that you came to reveal the Father's love. Lord, help us this morning, please, to realize the truth of eternal judgment. And as we want, Lord God, the truth of the resurrection to impact how we live, help us, Lord God, to understand that the truth of eternal judgment should also impact how we live and how, Lord God, we tell others the good news of Jesus before it's too late, so that they may avail of the wonderful, wonderful plan of salvation that you have given us in Jesus Christ, your Son. We ask it, Father, for his glory and for your name's sake. Amen.